1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week, we spent a whole class time just talking about spiritual gifts. We examined how they were used back when in the early church. But we also understood that the spiritual gifts were given by the apostles laying hands on those individuals. And we went to all these different scriptures. If there's any confusion today, that's on individuals, because the Bible is very clear to how spiritual gifts were used back then before the written word would have come. So those that call themselves apostles today or say they have gifts of healing and such is completely false doctrine, because there's nowhere in the Bible that you're going to see something like that. And so now he's writing about spiritual gifts to them, because there needed to be some regulation about what was going on, because the Lord's church is done in structure, it's done in unity, it's done in organization to make it so there's no confusion and such. But sometimes we get ahead of ourselves in how we conduct ourselves and what we have as maybe a gift for them back when and how they felt about it and so on and so forth. And so with that being said, what I'd like to do is go ahead and begin here in chapter 12. And I'll go ahead and just read this here just to begin. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols or mute idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations or ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same, but all these worketh that one and the a self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And so we'll go ahead and stop there. From that point, he'll go on and talk about there's one body but many members, and where some people take that today out of context. And we'll go that at some point, probably not today. So we read here just in that first part that Paul didn't want the Corinthians to be led astray. And so he wanted them to know that some of them in their former experience with idolatry and such and were poorly informed and really didn't understand the realities concerning spiritual gifts. What God does through the Spirit is not the same as the idol worship that these people had experienced coming before Christ. Remember at the time of Corinth, early on, there was a lot of idolatrous worship taking place all over the place. And so remember, these people are coming out of those lifestyles and what they knew and were raised on coming into the church. And so the guidance of the Holy Spirit is set in contrast to their former ways they serve these dumb idols, speechless idols, or mute idols. So with that being said, I want to turn over to Psalms 115. I'll be in Psalms 115 just to make some points here about this. And in Psalms 115 in verse 4, it says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands, that they have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Thus the thought here that Paul is saying, these dumb idols, these mute idols, it makes no sense I'm not going to go to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 8, but the context of that thought is simply this. Man would make things with his hands. And when he made things with his hands, what would he in turn do? He would what? He'd worship them. And I was trying to find the spot in the Old Testament. I was looking everywhere, and I wasn't looking everywhere. I just looked quickly. But I was trying to find the spot where there's this big production where he says, okay, the man cuts the tree down. And then he cuts the tree, and then he burns, and he does all these things to make it this big, elaborate effort. And then all of a sudden, he turns around and worships it. And so that's why the word dumb is used there, mute. Yet these Gentiles were taken away by Satan and his advocacies, who claim inspirations and such, and spoke in ecstatic utterances. What does it mean to speak in ecstatic utterances? I've been learning words the last couple days. Ecstatic utterances. Ecstatic basically means relating to a state of sudden, intense emotion. So you can see the idea that someone would just speak in something that really had no clarity behind it. Then I looked up in the thesaurus, and I just chose a couple words from the thesaurus, which basically said crazy, delirious. Charles, speak up loud so they can hear you.
The word ecstatic also implies a general feeling of gladness or happiness. It's not a negative ecstatic.
Yep. Yep.
Excited. You're excited in a good way. Ecstatic.
Yep.
It's not like you're very strong, emotionally negative.
Yep. Yeah, but it's just, but again, at the context of this, really, in these utterances were just things that really had no sense behind them or purpose or doctrine. So how can one distinguish between a false claim of divine guidance from a true one? Well, he just said here. So if you go back to that, he said, here's how you tell. He says, if in verse 3, he said that if someone says Jesus is accursed, or some say that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, right? If anybody was to say these things or utter these things, we know it's not from God. And when we get ready to a little bit later talking about some of the spiritual gifts, one was the discerning the spirits, which was basically, is someone truthful or not? And so with that, then let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 13, because it really spells it out here. And Deuteronomy 13:1, right? If one is truly loyal to Christ, the doctrine of one led by the Spirit will always agree with the proven revelation from God. And Deuteronomy 13:1, it says, if there rise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. And so he told them, if these prophets come and speak something different than what I've said, then it's almost like Galatians, let them be accursed. I mean, what was the deal? I mean, when they taught falsely, it was death. I mean, think about so many today are deserving of death because they teach the untruths of God. Yes, sir.
Spirit
Yeah, that's a great one. Actually, I think earlier on, Nate looked at my notes because I was going right there. But it is. But even so, even for today, we need to test the spirits, as Nate just read, and to make sure that things are either true or they're false. And so with that, then, I mean, you can just go even 2 Corinthians 11:13. You know, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. So we have all of this today, and then, but also back when. And so he's being very clear, because he's going to make a point on this early part here about what they knew and how, where they came from to how it is now. Because he's going to talk about, you know, the one God, the one Spirit, and the one Lord, and unity, not all of his diversities of different, this idol's for this idol's for rain, this one's for that, this one's for over here, and all over the place. It is very succinct, very unified. And so in Matthew 7:21, I think you had this on your radio lesson today, Bill. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but those that doeth the will. What is the will? How do we know the will of God? From the Bible. Do we read our Bibles? Man has really messed this up, and so many people follow man because, I mean, even think back when they were following these dumb idols, there'd be some people in the community that made it sound like this is the thing to do. Like, everyone else is doing this. We ought to be doing this. Look how much fun they have. They don't have any rules to follow. We can do whatever we want. Hey, sign me up for that religion. And that's what they would do, but it would give at some point. So Paul reminds that the so-called inspired utterances are not necessarily inspired by the Holy Spirit. There may be people claiming to speak from the Holy Spirit, but doesn't mean they really are. And so he uses extreme illustration to make the point, right? A person speaking from the Holy Spirit isn't going to say Jesus is a curse or Jesus doesn't even exist. And so that's where it is. And I'll give you a famous quote from Brother Ben Gillespie that, you like this, Ben. Proclamation must be followed by demonstration, right, brother? So even today, if you're going to proclaim that you can do those gifts, you got to be able to demonstrate it. Do people proclaim they have healing powers? Yes or no? Can they demonstrate it? No, they cannot. Otherwise, they'd be curing the stuff we're in right now. So where are they at? Just saying. So in verse 4 then, we're looking at verse 4, he talks about then different spiritual gifts. And a listing of some are given, right? Some were given the gift of wisdom and knowledge and healing and miracles and prophecy and so on. Some were given tongues. As he lists these things, he kind of begins with the diversity of these. And so what you see here then is that there's a diversity of gifts, but how many spirits are there? I mean, if you just start reading through this, I mean, you can just, I mean, it's very clear. He talks about the one Spirit. There is only one Spirit, but offering different gifts were bestowed upon them. Whatever the one Spirit had in mind in bestowing different gifts, it was not to be made for division. Everything had a purpose. And so he talked about the different administrations, or you might have ministries there, right? Different gifts doing different things, all for the purpose of what? Not for the purpose of dividing people up, but to be able to have the early church be established well enough. I mean, fortunately, we have the Bible that gives us everything we need to know, but they didn't have that. And there's different operations, diversity of operations, different means to the end. And so as we go through these gifts, we got to think about that, but it's all serving the same God. So difference in gifts and in the administration of operation, but all the gifts are through the same Spirit, the same God, period. Why does he beat that up so much? Because of the division within the church. Bill.
Tom, I think it's important to understand, too, that the apostles, when they laid their hands on them to pass on gifts, they didn't make a choice on what gift was given.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit made that choice on what gift was given.
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah. Who's gonna get this? Hey, pick me, and yeah, exactly right. And so when you look at these, then the point is that there's all kinds of spiritual gifts. These gifts are given for the common good, but they weren't given as well as even to Bill alluding to for someone to boast about, hey, I got this gift. And what was the gift that everybody wanted? Speaking in tongues. But in the order of gifts, where does God put them? Last.
That's what people want today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because that's one easy faith.
Yep, yep. And we'll spend some time later on about that particular thing. But many try to claim spiritual gifts to draw attention to themselves. They claim they have these gifts, and maybe because they say they have a stronger form of spirituality. Hey, look at me. I have this and you don't. Almost like, hey, I got a great testimony when Jesus came to me. Ben, how come you don't? It's almost like, I kind of feel like Paul, why are you in prison? I'm not. It's almost kind of just, you're putting people at odds with each other. It's just, man, if you just really go through this in seekness of the scriptures, it doesn't allude to this type of stuff. And so, but it's, I think it's also important too that these gifts were not used for the common good. In fact, I think, Nate, when we had our Bible study and we're in Philippians, Ben and Daniel, and I think Joe was there too, but we talked about an example of Epaphroditus. Is that his name? Epaphroditus? And what was the deal in Philippians? Who was Epaphroditus? Speak up because so people can hear. Someone, it's interaction time. Who in the book of Philippians is mentioned of Epaphroditus? Who's he?
Epaphroditus.
Yeah.
The one that got sick on the road. Yep. To give the message to Paul.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he was from the Philippian church, and he went over to Paul. What happened to him? He got sickly. What did Paul probably want to do? Probably Paul wanted to heal him. Why wouldn't he? Did he? How come? Wasn't the will. The thing about it was there was a purpose for. We talked about it last week. What was the purpose of the gifts?
Establish the truth.
Spread the gospel. Let everyone know this is from God. So it wasn't used for any of their personal gain. If there's not an example better than that, I don't know what to tell you. Because this guy was an important part of what was going on, and he was left. Now, did he live? How come he lived? Yeah, God chose to do it himself, not Paul. God healed him. There's another person, same thing. Starts with a T. Isn't it Trompus? I didn't look it up. There's another one and that's talked about that they maybe wanted to heal, but they couldn't or weren't allowed to.
Paul talked about it on the
yeah, mm-hmm.
That wasn't healed.
Yeah. Someone looked that up. I think his name's Trompus. But anyway, I'll leave that for you guys to figure out. But anyway, the point being, it wasn't made for the common good. It had a purpose behind it. We beat that up last week. And again, if anybody wants to study these things, you know, let me know or the men here. We'll study through this because it is clear as a bell. These gifts were not used to serve others in that sense and not to self-serve. It was used to spread the gospel. And I also want you to talk about, as we go through these spiritual gifts, these aren't talents. These aren't natural talents or skills or abilities. These were granted by God. They were spiritual gifts. And so, I mean, an unbeliever can have a gift of generosity, can't they? An unbeliever can have a gift of kindness or compassion. Spiritual gifts that we're talking about were supernatural, given by God to those Christians. And how did they get to that spot where they could have it? It was by the laying of the hands of the apostles, period. So we have then, some people say, like some people accuse me of having the gift of gab. And although it seems spiritual at times, it is not. I was just happened to have the gift of gab. That's my gift. Anyway. But I also want us to look at here too, and as you look in verse 6, and in verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. I wanted to see. And then in that was King James, New American Standard. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. And there's this idea then also, too, you might have where it says empowered. these gifts were given to them by God. It wasn't something that came from themselves. Brother Ben? Trophimus. You can always pronounce these last names in the Bible. So yeah, so that was just another example of someone else who left sick. Hey, let's heal this guy. That wasn't the purpose of it. I mean, for all of us, at some point, we're not going to be here. And there's, even the lesson I'll have this morning, there's a blessing in dying in Christ. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. There is a blessing of dying. If you're right and ready and tight, why does it matter if you die? And our lesson today is, O ye of little faith, and we're going to cover that. But it's hard for us to even wrap our minds around that because we're trying to protect ourselves. And I'm not saying we walk across the street without looking kind of stuff, but I am saying there has to be some faith in God at that level, even for those that we just talked about that got sickly, and they could be saying, God, I mean, come on, I'm really trying to help out here. And yet if they were to die and they died in service to the Lord, where are they at? I mean, come on. That's where faith steps to it. We don't have that faith, do we? We don't have that faith. We yearn to stay here right now. And we'll talk about the lesson I have this morning is really going to cover that at a high level. And so you have that came from God. True spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit and such. And so, and you have examples of this in Acts 5:14. I just read this here, Acts 5:14. Because we see all kinds of examples of this truth in the New Testament. But here's one instance that really shows this. And in Acts 5:14, it says, "And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number, to such an extent that even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came, by at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. Also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed." Right? Did Peter activate his gift of healing so that his shadow healed people? Did Peter will this to happen? No, God empowered it to happen. And so this healing, so whatever wherever Peter walked, people were healed. And so the point being is this, if you're causing your gift, then you don't have a spiritual gift. Comes from God. And so now let's just take a look at just all these different gifts that we can talk about here that are listed. And so we begin then here in, where are we at? So in verse 8, "For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom." When you hear that idea of given the spirit of word of wisdom, who do you think of in the Old Testament? Solomon, right? Remember what God asked him, "What do you want?" And instead of asking, "Give me riches or this or that," he said, "Give me wisdom." Why did he want the wisdom? To be able to do what? What's that, Bill? To govern the people, to help judge the people, to help the people. He wanted to have that wisdom. So if you think about that, you have an infant church. And prior to anything be written down, they needed to have some type of guide, right? The one possessing this gift could then speak in attending to problems or crisis, you know, the words from heaven, appropriate for any occasion they would find themselves in. Here's wisdom. And so if you look at even like, for the eldership of our church or churches that were set up, these weren't young people. There are people that had been around a while, that had been through experiences, life experiences, have been through just different things in their life to be able to say, okay, hey, guess what? I've been through this one before. I've had this happen before, right? Wisdom. And here this church, they don't have that right just yet. They don't know what's going on. So someone had to have that. Another one is the word of knowledge. So here's instance here, the role of the teacher, the instructor. He could correctly convey apostolic truth to his hearers to be able to help them understand that, you know, both of these gifts were given by the same Spirit, right? No basis for division. And so it's all about, really, when you look at wisdom and knowledge, really, I think of the word just truth. Because that's what was needed to have there. With truth, there's no division. With truth, there's no error. I'm reading a book right now called Jesus the Controversialist. And in the first just foreword of the book, the person in talking in reference to Jesus says that the only antidote for evil is good. The only antidote for error is truth. The world is so crowded with evil and error, right? Jesus advanced good and truth. So then because of it, he must be a controversialist. What happens when there's so much error and false teaching? You come in and you try to change it. What happens? So think, if you're walking the walk, brothers and sisters, controversy is around you everywhere you go. Because most people don't want to hear the truth. You could say, here's what the Bible says, and then they're just, well, that's not true today. Or, I mean, we make up all these reasons why and have all these, I'm sorry, Brother Ed, excuses why we don't serve truth. But it is such. And so with wisdom and knowledge, what do you bring? You defute error. You bring truth. Any thoughts on wisdom and knowledge? It's interesting because you wouldn't think much of those, you know, gifts. You know, give me the power to elevate telepathically or whatever. I mean, but here's just a simple thing that we think would be simple. But brothers and sisters, we have, in a sense, if it's a spiritual gift, we have the Bible. So in here is wisdom and knowledge. So you want that gift? You could work on that talent yourself. You want the gift of wisdom to have situations and get out of them? I'm telling you, right? Name a situation. Name any situation, and the Bible will talk about it and help you. But what do we do? It's right over here when we have situations happen, and we don't go to the Word that has knowledge, that has wisdom. Nobody's speaking. No thoughts. I'm looking, I'm scanning. All right, we're moving on. To another, faith by the same Spirit, right? We know that faith cometh from hearing the words of God. So we all have faith. How is this a spiritual gift? I think, Brother Bill, you alluded to it last week. It enables them to have the resources to provide truthful directions in time of testing and tribulation. It's easy for us to kind of have a faith right now, but when you're called upon to activate that faith in a difficult situation, that's when we all crumble. When God speaks to us and says, okay, here's what I expect, here's what my precepts and commands say, and yet we just can't seem to want to make that choice because, oh boy, what if this happens, or what if this? I mean, think about it. So, because I was looking, I got faith, we all got faith. What's this? And so sometimes people need to step up. And so it's really wonderful sometimes in a congregation if you have some have that natural ability of faith. In other words, their faith's a little bit more than the next person who can help lead. I mean, that's our eldership. Our eldership, in a sense, should have a greater faith because they're the ones leading. It's okay, here's what the scriptures say about that, and this is what we're going to do. Amen. But we all need to work towards that. But again, this is a thing. You got wisdom, you got knowledge, and now you need someone to be able to step up. Do you think Paul had a greater faith than others? I mean, think about Peter, not to beat him up, but certainly his faith was lacking when it was showtime. No, I don't know him. No, he's not with me. Right? His faith should have said, but it just couldn't. But that's where we are. I mean, that's why there are examples of this. Great men, even at times, had issues. And again, we're going to cover faith big time today in our lesson. What about the gift of healing, right? The diseased, the afflicted. Let's go to Mark 16, 17 and 20. Okay. My pages are sticking together. Okay, where are we at? So Mark, where are we at? Hold on a second here. What did I say? Mark? 16. Okay, 17 through 20.
These signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed it.
Exactly. We talked about that. Signs and wonders. Why were they? Why heal somebody? Because then people know this is God. And if it's God doing this, then you ought to be listening to the people that are able to do that. And so, but it says that they followed them, and they're casting out all these things and so on. Now, just before that, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved. So just as a freebie for all you, and baptized. And so after that, that's the things that they were doing. And so not to belabor that thought, but anyway, healing is very straightforward here. In the disease, the afflicted, and be cured. And again, signs and wonders, again, were to confirm the word. And once more, doing what? Stressing unity. Unity, unity. What did Jesus at the end, talk about unity of his people? And so if that's what he wanted, then obviously, then we want the same. At least I hope we do. But again, by the same Spirit. I'm stressing that. By the same Spirit. The one Spirit. The same Spirit. He talked also about working miracles. So, in a sense, the gift of healing is a miracle. But this person who received this one could do other miracles. Like, what would be an example of another miracle that's not healing somebody? I don't know. I was thinking about it. Anybody help me out?
Turning water into wine.
There you go, brother. I like it. Yeah, so there's things that happen that they could have gifts to do. Maybe it was. Maybe they didn't have food and they can provide. Bottom line is that the early church had these things. And we talked about it. We don't have those today. We'll get that when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Bible says those aren't needed today. And to another, the gift of prophecy. Right here, in a sense, is teaching directed by the Holy Ghost. They didn't have, again, the written word. But also, too, if you think about it, what does our Bible also have? Outside of just what happened in the past, how we should deal with ourselves today, what else do we have in there? Things of the
future.
Yeah, things that talk about judgment and when Christ comes. We could look and read about things that are going to happen. We could read in Matthew and other places about the destruction of Jerusalem when it would come, right? That they were given pre-knowledge of something that hadn't happened yet. And so here you have the gift of prophecy. Contains information of future events, end of the world, judgment, eternity. Obviously, we gain information from the scriptures today, but these people and their proclamations were given by God, empowered by God to offer these. And so to another one, discerning of spirits. What's this? Discerning spirits. Anybody want to throw themselves out there? Yeah. The ability to put men and teaching to an inspired test, right? Nate had read that from 1 John 4. Test the spirits, make sure, right? So as Bible students, we test through the Word of God. A particular person can say, oh, this person, don't listen to him, and know right away. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error, using the word of God as a standard, which we do today, which was read, they had this ability then. And then we get to the last one listed, which again is interesting. They thought tongues were the best to have, and yet he puts it at the last. Everyone's important. That's the same within the church. When we get to the particular part about the body and the different members, we're all one together, but all bring certain things. And we'll spend some time on that next week, to really bring that and tone and bring it in for us. So what is speaking in tongues? Is basically speaking in someone else's language. We can go to Acts chapter 2, time of Pentecost. They weren't speaking ecstatic utterances, emotion-filled non-truths. unless we go to Charles's definition, it could be truth in that sense. But in this case, and how we're looking at it, is this is someone else's language so they could understand. Charles. Yeah, and speaking some particular truth that you didn't even know, but now you can do the language, you can understand. I mean, that's an interesting gift, and certainly one that would be worthwhile to have. And so we have real languages, talking to audiences and such, Acts 2, 4. And so, but then also we had the interpretation of tongues. What's that? What's the interpretation of tongues? We have someone speaking in tongues. Okay. And so what's the whole point of all of this, folks? The early church were given tools, given things for their ministry and their work to be able to function as a whole unit and not even miss a beat. Yep. Yeah, I was thinking just even if you go to Acts chapter 2, just for a thought for a moment, when after those were all together, they all came from faraway places. So they all show up there, and then they all go back home to their spots. There was, when they went back home, there was no Christianity there. There was nothing, unless they had some miraculous gift given to them to be able to teach others. Do you think that's what happened? They all got together, and when the 3,000 all left, they didn't know what to do? Hey, guess what? I'm a Christian now. Okay. They had some gift and they raised somebody up in the air. I'm a Christian. No, but you see that they needed that. They needed to have this. And so verse 11 ties this all up. But all these worketh that one and the self same spirit. Back once more to stressing of the unity of the body. Paul has illustrated diversity by the varied spiritual gifts, but he reminds of one big point, that it all came from one spirit. He provided these, granted these particular gifts to a particular man. And as said earlier, it wasn't man's choosing who gets it. It wasn't the eldership saying, okay, Kenny, you're going to get this one, and Philip, you're going to have this. And it was God granted these things through the Spirit. So there's no reason at all to think that a man could choose a gift. Rather, the Spirit bestowed upon those who he chose to have that gift. And so if you think about these gifts and someone says they have that gift today, well, why aren't the other gifts? How come someone doesn't have the gift of miracles if they have the healing? Or if you can speak in tongues, how come you don't have prophecy? And I'm sure some say they have those. And as far as wisdom and knowledge goes, obviously we have it through the Word of God. Any thoughts on this particular part? I mean, this is really so tight-knit for a local congregation that doesn't kneel to do with boasting amongst one another, that they're putting the truth before everything and all working together for the greater good, for they themselves to make it to heaven, but also to have others. And that's probably one of the biggest things that we miss out is evangelism through all this. All of this was to make the church grow, not for us to sit here and just pound through the Bible ourselves and just leave. The Bible is so clear that we need to be evangelists. Any thoughts, comments, complaints, questions? And so next week, I'm actually going to spend some time at the beginning part, and I'm going to talk about prophecy. I'm just going to grab this particular one, and I'm going to talk about a particular person and show you just how silly it is for those that say they can do prophecy today, and just to spend a moment on that one there, because I had heard listen to somebody. I go, that's an interesting thought to share, to realize how silly people are getting today. Yes, Charles.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, spoke on behalf, like Jeremiah, Isaiah spoke on behalf of God. Yeah, certainly.
So, I mean, we can have prophets today in that there are those.
Yeah.
You know, preach the word as long as it's, you know, sourced from the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, the ability to prophesy, to say I have a divine revelation.
Yeah. Yep, and obviously in our spot, we're talking about miraculous in this context of this section. And so, but it is true, though. I mean, you look at the word prophet, it is. Jeremiah, Isaiah, what do? They spoke on behalf of God. Who did the people like better, the priests or the prophets? Did they like the priests better or the prophets? How come they liked the priests better? Yeah, the prophets told them what they didn't want to hear. The priests were the intercessors, do the sacrifices. Oh, yeah. Ben, you messed up. Give me a goat. Let's take care of this. All right, cool. The prophet's going, Ben, you need to get your act together, or here's what's going to happen. And they didn't want that. Nobody wants prophet stuff. We just want really, if you think about it, we just want this. We'll come together, we'll high five, and we'll leave. But to apply a truth, that's a whole different thing. Nate. Yeah.
And then later on, he goes on to say, if there's no one to interpret your tongues, keep silent.
Yeah.
And I get a kick out of watching him sometimes.
Yeah.
Writhing on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think God deals with chaos. That certainly would not be the case. So, okay, that concludes our study this morning. Thank you for your comments and participation, and we'll continue on next week.